Welcome in to another edition of The Beacon. Well, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
I wasn't that creative this week.
You weren't. That's okay. Sometimes you just be. It's just got to be real. Just keep it real, baby.
Do you know that? No. It's a month from today, the 24th.
February 24th is my.
TJ's birthday.
How did you remember that?
I remember it.
Wow.
He will be the big three.
Big three.
Honestly.
Oh, boy, you caught that before I did.
You got to get him all kinds of good things for his birthday.
I know. He's starting to get to the age where he's going to start understanding. Like, the first couple of years, you're sort of like, he doesn't know, so right. We can get away with...
But now you have to get him an iPad. You're going to have to get him his own cell phone.
No, don't even get me on my soapbox.
I know.
Soap
we
box.
Went through this once about
Oh, especially coming out of the holidays, I can't even deal.
Well, no. You know, what the heck? You know, he's got to be with the in crowd.
Well, you
he's
know,
he's got to tweet.
And here's
or Twitter or whatever the hell.
No, you
to
said
do.
It right. You
Did
said
I?
It
okay.
right. Yeah, no, you were right. I don't think kids should have access to the world
but
like
he wants
that.
A
I just
cell
don't.
He wants
I don't care.
A selfie.
I don't. He's got my cell phone. He's got. You know, we've got so many things just laying around the house. We've got old iPads. We've got new iPads. We've got old iPhones. We've got new iPhones. Like, our technology needs are well covered.
Really?
Oh,
you had old things laying
above
around
and
the
beyond.
House, including Reese's.
Like, I got I upgraded my phone a couple of months ago, and they were giving away a free tablet with your phone. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't need another tablet. But of course, I took it because it was free.
It's not free.
It's not free, and
it's
it sits in my cabinet.
Right, it's not free. You're paying for that.
I know, sweetheart. I know what I'm paying for. And I've tried to, of course, I tried to call and cancel it because I'm like, I'm not using it. And then I was locked into the 2-year contract at that point.
Well, you have to pay for the,
the contract or the early termination fee. That's fine.
You might as well just have it, put it in the cabinet,
and forget
about it.
That's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did.
Well, you know, this is National Glaucoma Month.
It sure is.
Glaucoma Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of great interviews last year.
Oh, gosh,
that I figured they'd warrant replay during this month. And you've got the list over there. There's the first one was, this guy was really neat.
Dr. Joseph Cialino.
Cialino,
from the Harvard University School of Medicine. So he's a little bit smart.
You think?
I think so.
What a nice guy.
Even better.
What
Even
a
better.
Nice guy.
Because these brilliant doctors tend to get a bad reputation for having no bedside manner.
Well, you know what? I talked to him the day of the Boston Marathon last year.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you didn't run the marathon, Doc? And he says, no. He says, my knees gave out in undergraduate school. He says, I don't do that anymore. But he's got an interesting thing that he's working on.
Well, he's talking about his work in developing a contact lens that will time-release needed medicine. So patients can receive the right dosage.
Yep.
Which is very cool.
And he's working with a bunch of tech types from MIT.
So this you recorded this last year then.
I recorded this last year.
So have you been keeping up with his research?
I'm going to call him again.
Okay,
we're
good.
We're going to visit with him since it was around marathon time, and that's usually in April. I think the Boston Marathon.
I bet it's been over a year at this point.
Mm.
They had like a year moment of silence. I do remember that. But it wasn't long ago. Maybe
no,
a couple
yeah,
months
but
ago.
No, last year was the thing. But I'm thinking when they have it, I think they run the marathon in April.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have him on again.
Good.
Find out an update on what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good to follow up and find out what.
But now, this is cool.
Okay.
Because the next one
is
done locally here, obviously.
Yeah, from Northwestern University.
But this has got to make a lot of people with glaucoma sit up and take notice.
Well, she's going to be talking. They're working with DNA identification to hopefully find a cure for glaucoma. So, I mean, that's a bold statement.
Not a managing tool.
No, a cure. And this is with Dr. Susan Quaggin from Northwestern University. Hospital.
So can you imagine, because she is basically at the same stage that Dr. Cialino is.
Okay.
In the research and development, going for approval.
Okay.
So can you imagine his His research invention of the contact lens that disperses the medication, working along with her project.
Boy.
That will dispense the medication the way it's supposed to be dispensed. You literally, and what Dr. Quaggan is hoping to do is literally eliminate glaucoma.
That would be fantastic. Are the two of them working together
no,
at all? They're not.
Separate
okay,
projects.
So separate
totally
projects.
Separate projects.
Wow.
And you want to, again, you want to talk about a doctor, an MD, who is extremely personable and knows how to explain about the research. That's
sure,
Dr. Quaggan.
That's an important part of it all as well.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Good. Well, I'll look forward to hearing these interviews again, and hopefully we can get follow-ups from them, because it sounds like this is wonderful research
thing,
that you want to keep up, we want to keep you up to date with.
And then, of course, Tom's Corner.
Of course.
So, all right, but let's get underway, because this is really fascinating information. I'm Bill Shurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around for Dr. Cialino from Harvard right after this.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You know, in the past here on our Beacon program, we have talked about glaucoma and how there really is no cure, but there is the ability to keep it under control and to maintain vision that a patient has, even though they are a victim of glaucoma. There's been some research done recently, and when it caught my eyes across my desk the other day, I was very excited about it, and I was able to get a hold of Dr. Joseph Cialino. He is a associate professor of ophthalmology. He's with the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Institute and also the Harvard School of Medicine, and he's joining us on the program this morning. Doctor, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show.
It looks like a fantastic breakthrough, and what you guys have actually developed is a contact lens that can dispense the drops that a patient with glaucoma needs to take, and so many times doesn't get the proper dosage just because of the fact that it has to be applied through a drop.
That's correct. A lot of times patients who are on chronic therapy have a challenge of taking the medication every day, and in some cases, and particularly for glaucoma, for the rest of your life. And so there's challenges with just remembering to take the medication, but also with glaucoma drops, there is also a challenge of actually self-administering the medication into one's own eye.
Mm-hmm. You are by definition, you are more of a specialist when it comes to the cornea, which is the front of the eye. And I can see where you've gotten involved in this, because the lens that we're talking about would be placed over the cornea. Is it a implant type of lens, or is it one that just lays on the surface of the cornea?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is a one that lies on the surface of the cornea, much like a contact lens that someone would wear for refractive purposes instead of glasses.
Now, by being that it has the medication in it, it doesn't obscure vision at all, does it?
That's a good question. Its design is analogous to that of a cosmetic contact lens.
Okay.
So you have a ring of a drug polymer film that sits in the middle of the contact lens, mm-hmm. and that ring is in the periphery. So the vision should not be affected by that drug.
Now, it's interesting the way it works, because in the article that I read, it says that there is a like a burst of the medication when the lens first gets first applied to the eye. And then the thing that really makes it effective is the fact that it's a constant dispensing of the medication that the person needs, right?
That's right, yeah. And so the burst is, it's maybe not ideal in this case for the treatment of glaucoma, and so that's something that we're looking at minimizing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's that sustained delivery with the ability to deliver nearly the same amount of medication each day, every day, that is sort of our breakthrough. And so that would allow someone to wear this lens for 1 week, 2 weeks, even a month at a time, and would ensure proper delivery of the medication to their eye.
Is this a right now you're obviously going through research with it, so it's going through study. Would this be something that if a patient was able to become part of the study, would this eventually gets into active use? Is this something that would be able to be covered by medical insurance?
We certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Yes, we hope so. There's no question about it that lack of compliance is a major problem in the treatment of glaucoma. In fact, only 50% of patients are estimated to be compliant with their drops after 6 months of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And that lack of compliance leads to vision loss. And that's been shown time and time again. From the physician's standpoint, the problem is actually a little more complicated, because we don't know necessarily who is being compliant and who is not.
Mm-hmm.
Most patients do take their drops right before they see us, sort of like the person who brushes their teeth before they see the dentist, or
right. Flosses
the day before they see the dentist. I'm sure most people out there brush their teeth before seeing their dentist.
One would hope, you know.
Absolutely. And so our patients are, in a way, no different. They may go months without taking their drops as prescribed, but then they'll use the drops several days in a row before seeing their doctor. So then one of the clinical data points that we look at is the reduction of intraocular pressure.
Sure.
And if their pressure is reduced, well, then we assume they're taking the medication, when in reality, they may be living with much higher pressures in the side of their eye, which could be slowly contributing to vision loss. And so it's difficult for us as physicians to actually detect when someone is using their medication or not when they use it right before seeing us.
Before they come into your, like you said, prepare about a week ahead of time and start taking the medication ahead of time to kind of camouflage it and fool you, you know, that's what they're doing in that. Not realizing that they're only hurting themselves and not anybody else, you know, by trying to skirt around the issue in that. You know, over the years, treatment for glaucoma has been, originally, I guess it started out with the drops and everything else, but if it had to go on to a more intense type of treatment, it was the trabeculectomy originally, and then after that it became laser treatment that physicians were starting to use, that ophthalmologists were starting to use for it. So by doing the process that we're talking about here, by incorporating this medication into the lens, you can almost get to the point where if it's a pressure that isn't as high that would require these other two procedures, that you'd be able to eliminate a lot of the surgical with this, correct?
Absolutely. That's the hope, is that I think that there's probably a segment of the patient population out there,
mm-hmm,
that is, I may not be using the drops as reliably as they should be. And so the physician notes that there's increased damage to the optic nerve,
mm-hmm,
and progression of glaucoma, and therefore makes a decision to proceed with surgery, which itself has a fairly high level of side effects and decreased vision associated with it. So surgery itself is not necessarily a line of therapy that the doctor would prefer to use.
Taking it a step further, you know, in looking that, you know, in a try and make surgery and anything as drastic as that is the last hope. the lens that we're talking about is not only, it's probably more suitable for an adult patient, but it is something that could also be utilized on the juvenile level as well, right?
That's right. We were talking earlier, and there are patients who develop glaucoma as children. If it's developed after the age of 2 or 3, it's referred to as juvenile glaucoma.
Okay.
And those patients are actually initially treated with medical therapy. And as you can imagine, it's not always easy to get eye drops into the eyes of children.
Sure.
And so this is something where we could potentially place a lens once a month instead of daily drops. Not to say that placing the lens would not be a challenge, but it would be something that would take place just once a month as opposed to on a daily basis.
On a daily basis, maybe sometimes 2 and 3 times a day as well, sure. Where are you at in the study? How far along are you in the study, and what kind of results have you seen so far, or are we too premature to ask for that?
Well, I could certainly tell you where we are now. At this point, we have looked at the what's called the release kinetics. We looked at the amount of drug that's released out of the lens each day over the course of a month in benchtop studies, and then progressed to early animal studies. And what we found is that we can deliver a therapeutic amount of medication each day, every day, for a month. And so that's sort of what is new here, is certainly the duration of therapy. Unfortunately, the early animal models that one would use for these type of studies, the animals themselves do not respond to the medication like humans. There isn't a drop in intraocular pressure. As a result, our next study that we're looking at would be using an animal model that does respond to a drop in pressure just like humans.
Which animal has an eye that's the closest in construction as the human eye?
Well, I mean, from an evolutionary perspective, you can imagine that
primates,
the animal would be most... Yeah, of course. Yeah, that'd be more similar to us. One of the animals we're looking at is actually a canine model.
Wow.
And we see this in talking to veterinary ophthalmologists. This is actually a need. And so we actually see this as a treatment, not just for humans, but actually for our four-legged friends as well. And our hope is that we can prevent blindness in dogs and even cats. Apparently, I'm speaking sort of outside of my comfort zone here.
Sure, I understand,
I'm an ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
But my understanding is glaucoma is actually a much more rapid process in dogs. And therefore, it's a bit of a medical emergency. And the veterinary ophthalmologist I spoke to thought that this could be something that could be used to prevent their blindness from occurring.
Have you started human trials or testing on this yet?
We haven't yet started human trials.
Okay.
That's something we hope to do, of course.
Oh, okay.
And we're working towards that goal.
If somebody wants to find out more, is there a website that lists more information, or maybe has some information about the paper that you wrote on this to get this whole process started in that?
Oh, sure. This contact lens was actually developed in a laboratory of Dr. Dan Kahane at Boston Children's Hospital. And he has a wonderful website which anyone interested in this contact lens can look into. And I'll give you the address. It's Kohane, which is Kohane .tch.harvard.edu.
Okay. It's one of those long ones, right?
yeah, it's a little longer, but since you asked, I believe if you put that in, it will direct you to the lab's website.
And you know what I'm going to do? Since it is long like that, I'm going to have that information available in the office during the week. If somebody needs that information, we can pass it along, or also try to put it on a Facebook page, too, so that that they have that available. Well, listen, I wish you the best of luck. How far down the line do you think it's going to be? I mean, I know these things take many years, and I'm not pinning you down or anything on it, but do you see this coming up within the next 5-10 years or something as a viable way of dispensing the medication?
Yes, absolutely. Well, at least we would be further along in human studies by then.
Okay.
For sure. And so it is, like you mentioned, it is a long process, but that certainly is our goal. And I think that timeline is realistic.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, Dr. Cicilline, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck with the work that you're doing. I'm going to have to talk to you again on another subject. We'll invite you back to talk a little bit more about the cornea, too, and other diseases of the cornea as well. That is Dr. Joseph Cicilline. He is an associate. This is a long thing. Do you put this all on a business card?
I do, yeah.
He's Associate Professor of Ophthalmology at the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary and the Harvard School of Medicine. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I feel like it's all on my shoulders. How am I going to take care of my parents if they develop an eye disease like glaucoma? Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in African Americans and Hispanics in the United States. And what about my kids? Will they inherit it? Not to mention my risk factor. I'm really concerned, and I need some answers.
I'm Dr. Jeffrey Goldberg, an ophthalmologist and a scientist, supported by AHAF, the American Health Assistance Foundation. We're working to discover breakthrough treatments and a cure for glaucoma. At AHAF.org, we will answer your questions and address your concerns. Learn about glaucoma, its symptoms, risk factors, and treatment options. Also, how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to AHAF.org for a free brochure on how eye disease affects all our lives. That's 1-800-437-2423.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it'll be really great to hear. Hopefully we can catch up with him again in April and find out what he's up to, what kind of progress has been made.
Yep.
Cool.
Do you know it's hard to get through their media department, though?
I would imagine.
It is extreme, because I wanted to get put on their mailing list.
Okay.
You know, for things. It is amazingly difficult to get on the...
Even to get on a mailing list?
Just to get on a press release.
Really?
List, so...
Oh, interesting.
But I've been massaging the person.
Well, you are a persistent man, too. Once you set your mind to something, you don't give up until you get what you want.
I'll get over there. I'll fly to Boston and say, look.
Yeah, you would. You would.
I would do that, yeah. But I'll wait till it gets really nice and warm out and everything.
Of course, yeah. You don't want to...
Because you want to do that Paul Revere walk and all of that stuff.
Yeah, Boston's a beautiful city.
Boston is a great town. I was there when my boys were younger.
Okay.
Honest to God, the rotaries are absolutely... fun to drive.
Oh, yeah.
But they're hideous if you are a lousy driver. because, I mean, everybody gets like in the rotary, and it's like they lower the checkered flag at the Indy 500.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to drive in Boston. I never had to drive when I was living there because I was there for college. But
I had my late wife and my older boy and my middle boy. We were there, and she was a good driver, and I was driving at the time, right? And she said, you drive this town. You drive downtown Chicago. She said, so you're going to have to be the one to drive. It was a challenge.
Oh, I bet.
It was a challenge.
I bet. Yeah, Boston is kind of notorious for their horrible driving conditions.
Absolutely. Honestly, but a beautiful town.
It's gorgeous.
We have to say that because Dr. Slick is from around that
one. Oh, is she?
Yeah,
I didn't. You know, when I was planning to move, when I was ready to make my big life move, right, and I ended up coming to Chicago, my first destination, my original destination point was New England.
Really?
Yeah, and I tried to put the balls in motion to move out there, and it just, you know, it was kind of roadblock after roadblock, yeah. And then I sort of redirected my focus on Chicago, and everything
well,
just
thank
like
God you didn't go
place.
To Detroit. That's the most
oh,
important
gosh.
Thing, so.
Detroit wasn't even on my radar. I mean, Californians don't think much about
Detroit?
Or Michigan in general.
I know, really?
Yeah, like my dad's, my daughter's dad is from Michigan, and so, you know, I spent some time there before she was born. And
it's a beautiful state, though.
It's a beautiful state, but it's, when you're from the West Coast, Michigan is one of those states that is just not, I think really anything like east of Nevada sort of falls off our radar.
It's like New Yorkers say, once you get on the other side of the Hudson, there's nothing there.
Right.
You know? We used to have a guy here in Chicago. His name was Bob Collins, right? He was on another station up the dial, three letters, at 720. Anyway, he came from Florida, and then he made his circuit around the country, you know, as a broadcaster. So he was in Chicago, and he used to get phone calls, you know, because it was a 50,000-watt signal. He used to get phone calls, and somebody called from Dubuque. And he says, you're calling me from where? And then the caller would say, Dubuque. He says, where is that? And he said, Iowa. He says, no, there is no Iowa. He says, it goes from Illinois to Nebraska. He says, there's no Iowa.
That's how it feels sometimes.
And he used to razz the farm director over there because he used to say, is the manure tour going off that way? Because he used to do the fairs every year.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Right. Yeah.
It's the guy.
That's funny.
But I digress. We're off subject here. And this is National Glaucoma Awareness Month, having nothing to do with the manure tour.
Nothing to do with anything.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's the, I'm so flustered. What's the doctor's name?
Dr. Susan Quaggin. From Northwestern University Hospital.
Yes, which I salute with great pride. Northwestern University Hospital.
They took
good
care of you when you needed them.
They certainly did.
Yep, they did.
Provided me with a good undergraduate education, you know, although they probably don't care to admit to it.
Oh.
On our program, we many, many times talk about glaucoma because it affects so many people, and it is a disease of the eye that is really getting focused on, and I mean heavy focus, in a lot of different research that's being done at institutions such as Harvard, that it's UCLA. I've talked to specialists out at Stanford University. And here in Chicago, at our very own Northwestern University, we have actually got, I think, a real jewel on our hands. Because, I'm not going to give away anything. I'm going to let Dr. Susan Quaggin talk about it. She's a professor of medicine and necrology? No.
Nephrology.
Necrology is something else, and we don't want to go there, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. How are you? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so sorry that you're Canadian, because you like this weather, so, you know.
I didn't say I like the weather, but...
But you'll tolerate it, right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what your work is. Your primary work is, and then we can kind of filter our way into the research that you've been doing for glaucoma.
Sure. So our research is focused on understanding the molecules that are important in making healthy blood vessels mm-hmm. throughout the body, so not only in the kidney, but also in the eye.
So this is what everybody should understand, that your primary focus is on the kidney.
Well, that's right, but, you know, it turns out that all the blood vessels are connected, and oftentimes when there's problems in one organ, there's problems in another organ, so that's how we really stumbled on discovery in glaucoma.
The one thing I was going to say to you, and we discussed this before we got on the air, I was telling you that I was an ROP baby, and that I learned that babies born with ROP, I can't remember the percentage off the top of my head, but quite a few are susceptible to glaucoma later in life, and even retinal separation, because I guess of the misforming of the blood vessels in the eye.
Right, and actually our discovery in glaucoma is also a disruption of development of the normal circulation in the front part of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense that babies born prematurely who do have defects in development of these vessels would also be prone to glaucoma.
Would it be safe to assume, because I've seen in some of the research that I've been doing for a book that I'm in the process of writing, that they do a cryogenic method, and then they do a, there's another method that they use to kind of take that part of the eye, the front part of the eye, or the farthest part out, and kind of destroy it so you don't have to worry about blood vessels being, starting to grow in the outer reaches and not actually be as efficient as they should be.
Right, yeah, I think that is correct. Now, I'm going to defer to my ophthalmology colleagues and terrific collaborators here at Northwestern to answer that. But, I'll let you. Go ahead.
Okay, so now you've actually developed something to help out the plumbing, because what people may not understand about glaucoma is that the drain system gets plugged up.
Right, so... You know, what was most interesting about our mouse model of glaucoma, and we actually picked it up clinically. So we, you know, examine our mice just like we examine patients, and sure, we noticed that they were having difficulty seeing and difficulty closing their eyes. So what we actually discovered was one of the, a new set of molecules that are absolutely critical for building the drain that's needed to, you know, remove that fluid from the front of the eye. So not only can they get plugged up, but they can actually be completely absent. And there are a number of children who are born with defects in this drainage system as well.
Can you add that later? I mean, can a surgeon go in and develop that drain if they need to be? I know they call a procedure in glaucoma treatment trabeculectomy.
Right.
Where bleb is created.
Right. So, yeah, so most of the treatments currently are surgical for babies born with this congenital form of glaucoma. Mm-hmm. And if you go in and do this trabeculostomy or trabeculectomy.
It's easy for me to say, I know, yeah.
It's opening up just on top of this drainage vessel, which is actually given a special name called Schlemm's canal.
Okay.
And in fact, some surgeons do go in and you can open up that canal if it's narrow. But if it's completely missing, surgeons can't go in and replace it.
Mm.
So what we're hoping with, you know, now that we know what the molecules are, we can add them back. So it is possible to add back molecules into the eye and hopefully in the form of an eye drop. So that's currently where we're going with the research, and we've got some, fun preliminary experiments underway.
Would, by putting these molecules back into the eye, would this then later create the drain, or would it just control the amount of fluid in the eye?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we're hoping actually is to create the drain, and we're also hoping to make sort of larger drains. If you imagine a clogged pipe, as you mentioned, sometimes these things can get blocked.
Sure.
And in adult onset forms of glaucoma, we know that stiffness of this drain or even narrowing of this drain can happen. So we're hoping these same molecules will open up the drain and allow the fluid to escape from the eye.
There's two different types of glaucoma. There's narrow angle and wide angle glaucoma. The research that you're doing, would it be more appropriate for one form of glaucoma than the other?
Yes, so it would be more appropriate for the open angle form, so the wide angle form of glaucoma, where, and we think that these molecules, well, we're really hopeful that it's going to help in all of these forms of open angle glaucoma.
What kind of success have you had with the mice? Because you were mentioning that, you know, you go into it, and they must have a hell of a time with the eye chart, I'll tell you.
That was the toughest part. So we're just starting. So in fact, we haven't generated the eye drop yet. We're in the process of doing that with another colleague here at Northwestern, Sam Stoop, who's a chemist and does fabulous things with nanotechnology. So we have identified a new chemical or a new molecule that at least in the petri dish can replace these or activate this pathway. So we're still a little away from treating the mice, but we're optimistic within the next year or so that we'll be testing it out.
I'm going to ask you a question that is a loaded question, okay? And if you can be more than willing to give me the answer that I usually get from researchers when I ask this question, and that is, what kind of timetable are you looking at for something like this?
Right. So, you know, we always love to be optimistic, but we also have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say within the next year, we're hoping to know whether or not this works in our mouse model of glaucoma and,
sure.
and that we get these mice back to reading and seeing properly.
Sure.
And, you know, from there, we're probably looking at another 18 months, I would say, to start to think about
human testing.
Human.
Yeah.
Humans. Yeah.
By the way, we're talking to Dr. Susan Quaggan, who is a professor of medicine and nephrology at Northwestern University. I had to think a little bit there.
Yep.
You know, I didn't want to call it the other thing again. You know? Who happened to, with her colleagues, discover that there's molecules that actually could help. Now, I'll ask you the question. Would this be something that has the potential of curing or just being able to manage glaucoma better?
Yeah, so I think there are both possibilities exist. I think, you know, even if we could rationally, you know, reduce the pressure mm-hmm. by making these bigger drain pipes in the eye, that would be a success. I think that perhaps in some of the congenital or the forms of glaucoma where infants are born mm-hmm. with this defect, perhaps there would be a cure. Again, I'm an optimist, so you know, we're working very hard to try and see if this is a possibility.
It's nice to see that the glass is half full as far as you're concerned.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is it the fluid that gets affected by the by glaucoma? Is it the same fluid as the vitreous in the eye?
No, it's the aqueous humor.
Okay,
so that's produced in the front of the eye to nourish that part of the eye that doesn't have blood vessels.
Oh, okay. So there is. I was always under the impression that it was the vitreous that was being drained because it's the cleaning process that it does for the inside of the eye. And
right.
Everything.
Yeah.
But that's quite interesting. Now I'm going to switch gears on you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what kind of work are you doing as far as nephrology is concerned?
Oh.
Because I know you guys at Northwestern were at the forefront of actually live. Had something to do with live donor kidneys, or there was an experiment that I know that was going on that already had made it into into human patients. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the transplant group here is very impressive. Yeah, they're doing lots of interesting, innovative treatments for donation. And in my own lab and research group, we are really focused on diabetic kidney disease, which is the commonest cause of kidney failure in the U.S. And actually the same pathway that we stumbled across for glaucoma, we're very optimistic that it's going to have a beneficial effect for diabetic kidney disease and diabetic eye disease. So, you know, we're excited about it for a lot of different reasons.
Well, the idea, too, is that being that you're working with, as far as the diabetic disease part of it, is that diabetic retinopathy is a huge problem for people who have diabetes and who develop the disease itself. So,
yeah, absolutely. And usually, diabetic kidney disease and diabetic retinopathy go hand in hand.
Okay. Well, right now, the only thing that basically can be done for the kidney is dialysis, right?
Well, right. So, or transplant, once you reach end stage kidney failure, but even to slow down the progression of diabetic kidney disease, you know, we have good blood sugar control, good blood pressure control,
mm-hmm.
but no new treatments really that have made it to clinical use over the past two decades. So we're really, you know, is it really time to get some new treatments out there? And this pathway actually is really exciting because there is a drug already in patient use for diabetic macular edema, so part of the diabetic retinopathy picture.
Sure,
and
sure.
We're really hopeful that's going to help also in the kidney.
Well, you know what? I wish you the best of luck, and particularly for people who are now suffering through the all of the condition that goes along with glaucoma. And the fact is, if you can work hand in hand with that, as well as being able to find a way of controlling the kidney part of it as well. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. Thank you for joining me this morning. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Dr. Susan Quaggin. She is a professor of medicine and nephrology at Northwestern University Hospital. I promise I'll get it right. We'll be back with more on The Beacon right after this.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to make a New Year's resolution to combat vision loss by getting treatment at the Chicago Lighthouse World-Class Rehabilitation Center. Our highly recommended doctors can assist individuals of all ages with reduced vision caused by any eye disease, either congenital or acquired. For your convenience, there are satellite clinics located in Glenview, Elk Grove Village, Flossmoor, Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and our newest site, Trade Winds in Merrillville, Indiana. To make an appointment, call 312-997-3686. That's 312-997-3686.
If you enjoy listening to The Beacon, why not become part of the family? You can tell our audience about your product or service at a reasonable cost. We will even help you produce your message in a way that will capture our listeners' ear for you. By advertising on The Beacon, you will not only reach thousands of people who need and want your product or service, don't have an agency, or wouldn't know the first thing about producing a radio commercial? Let The Beacon staff help you write and produce your message. Now that the economy is picking up and people are spending more on things they need, this is the perfect opportunity for you to get the word out. For more information and a free consultation, just call Bill Jurek at 312-997-3678 or email Bill at bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org. Come on, join the Beacon family and increase your sales by reaching an audience that really wants to hear your message. Call today at 312-997-3678. Again, that's 312-997-3678 or bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
You ever see the episode of The Big Bang Theory where Penny tries to sing?
No.
The operative word being trying?
I don't watch The Big Bang Theory.
I know, you don't, I know. Stacey gets glazed over when I talk
sure
about
she does.
Big Bang Theory.
I'm sure she does.
And yet she goes out and buys me the discs, you know?
Because she's a good lady. She takes care of you.
She does, absolutely. And we want to take care of you, because if you missed any of the information on today's show about glaucoma, you can go to our website at www.chicagolighthouse.org. Look for what website?
www.chicago. Oh, The Beacon.
No.
Chris Radio.
No, see.
You got to tell me when you're going to quiz me on the air.
I like to pull these snap quiz on you, you know?
Make sure I'm paying attention.
That's right. You know, don't forget, I went to Catholic school. They did this all the time. But anyway, you go to Chris Radio, C-R-I-S.
I was right.
But, yeah. But you said The Beacon first.
I know. But then I said Chris Radio.
That is not acceptable, young man. Anyway, so you go to the Chris Radio link, look for The Beacon.
Yes.
And then go to the podcast.
There it is.
And you'll be able to listen to it at your leisure. Or this coming Wednesday night, you can hear it on Chris Radio.
Which don't is they replay what? It on the radio, on this radio
no.
again?
What does it stand for, Chris Radio?
I don't know. What does Chris stand for? That's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that.
Listen, Chicagoland Radio Information Service.
Really?
Right?
I've never heard that.
Doing notes with this?
I'm writing it down.
Good. And because we don't want to give any ideas, so it's not a crib note. It's just
a
regular note.
Written note.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And then now it's time for us to visit with those two guys that we look forward to every week at this time on the broadcast.
The big H and the big P.
The big
H.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yep,
that's true. That's right. Mr. Hawkins and Mr. Persky are in that Tools for Living store, which has that funky music to start with.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Brian Hawkins here on Tom's Corner with the man himself. Happy New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year, Brian. You doing okay?
I'm doing fine, recovering from all the celebrating.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
Trying to deal with the cold. But lots of things to talk about this week on Tom's Corner, starting with our brand spanking new website.
Exactly. We've been excited about the launch of our new website.
Mm-hmm.
So go to chicagolighthouse.org if you're on your new tablet that you got for Christmas or or your new computer, hopefully, or you're learning about it. But the new website is geared to both your computer and your mobile device now, which
right.
is a new format that we haven't had before. But, yeah, it looks really great. We had a really long year of planning for it and developing it. And it's got some really neat features, and including lots of videos that are embedded in different categories. So you really can spend time and really learn a lot from the new website, everything from low vision services, services for people who are blind, our research department. There's so many areas that you can actually read about and, mm-hmm. and watch videos on. And I think it'd be really great to if you can access the web for those of you who are vision impaired or newly visually impaired, you can learn about all the services at the Lighthouse. I think sometimes people think of maybe the one service that they're familiar with. It might be the low vision clinic. Another emphasis I'd like to talk about this year would be, you know, think about all the other services and try to learn all the other services that the Lighthouse offers, because there's many, many, many. And when I have an opportunity to take people on a tour mm-hmm. here, they're always flabbergasted by just how much is going on in the Chicago Lighthouse. So whatever your view of the Chicago Lighthouse is, let's expand it this
That's
year.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so,
as you mentioned, you can also access it now on your cell phone.
Mobile,
your smartphone.
Yeah, yeah, smartphone or tablet.
Right.
So it all fits in there nicely now, and so that's really a great help.
Now, there's one particular video that I think everyone might find particularly interesting, and that's the EBOT video that Luke did.
Well, that's a new one, right, from our department, Luke Scriven, who really has a lot of fun with taking some of these new products and being able to display them in a way, in a short 3 or 4 minute video, in a way that gives our clients, our customers, our patients a chance to really learn what these devices do. So he's really gone over the top on this one.
But I wish you'd point out, that's not on the website, is it? Or is
that's
it?
Correct. It's on our, we call it our YouTube channel.
Right.
So while you're on your tablet, go to youtube.com and then type in CHI Lighthouse, all one word, as the search. Or if you go to youtube.com/CHI Lighthouse, you'll see a whole list of the videos. But this video is on the EBOT Pro, which we did talk about on this show, which mm-hmm. is a device that looks down on your paper for reading or writing, and also looks in the distance. And it has a robot-like little camera that actually moves on its own. And so what Luke did was to give the camera a personality, and she talks about herself through the whole video. And you just... I can't explain it. You just have to watch it to believe it. So, again, it's youtube.com and do CHI Lighthouse, and you'll see all our products, including this new EBOT video.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, with this being the beginning of the year, there's lots of products available in the Tools for Living store, and some of them are even available at a discount.
Right, right. We've decided for a limited time to have some really kind of aggressive pricing, so this would be a very good time to, if you're in the market for a new video magnifier, both a portable one or a desktop model. And for those of you who are not familiar, these video magnifiers can really help people with not only glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, beyond what an optical magnifier can do. So if somebody needs 4 times or 6 times magnification, the optical magnifier can help. But some of these new products give you a chance to use a camera lens instead of an optical lens.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage of that is you can make it white on black or black on white or different contrasting colors, which makes the print stand out a lot more. You can increase the magnification from 2 times all the way up to 16 times magnification, which you can't do with a magnifying glass. So we call the small ones the portables, and those are very small. It can be held in your hand. Some of them can be carried to the store when you're shopping, mm-hmm. and they're really great. We have one called the Mobile Lux Touch that we've talked about on this show before, and that has actually a touch screen, and it does a lot of neat things. It even saves up to 75 different images. That is normally $695. We have that for $495. So
wow.
Come and look at that one, because I think you're going to really like it.
Mm-hmm.
For the desktop units, we've been working with, of course, HumanWare over the last several years on all of their products, and the Synergy SI, Superior Image, is what that stands for. That's a high-definition CCTV, and they've gone from a 22-inch now to a 24-inch screen, so it's a nice wide screen that will get lots of text on the screen for somebody with glaucoma or macular degeneration to be able to zoom in to very high levels. Has what they call an XY table or tray, and it gives you a selection of colors, whether they're called line markers or windows. This device has been selling for $2,595, and we have right now for a limited time $500 off.
Wow.
Probably for January and February. So that's really a great savings, and HumanWare has worked together with us to make that available.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited to be able to offer that. So we'll have that here in Chicago and in our Glenview location. So Glenview is 222 Waukegan Road. Here in Chicago, we're at 1850. We call it our Tools for Living store. Or you go on a new website, go down and click on Shop. And then when you click on Shop, go down, scroll down the page, and you'll actually see a video about our store that was on Channel 7 a year or so ago. And that was kind of a neat thing to put on there. If you've not seen our shop and the Tools for Living and all the things that we offer.
All right.
One more special would be HumanWare's Prodigy. I know some of you are ready for the Prodigy this year, which also reads aloud as well as, you know, being able to magnify. So the desktop units are going to be $100 off.
Mm-hmm.
And those with the tablet, which it's a removable tablet, they call the Prodigy Duo, those will be $300 off for this time. So we're excited about that as well, to pass that along. So this is a great time to call us and
come by the store and try out some of these products that are on sale, or anything that might be there you might need.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, usually this part of the show is reserved for dates on the road shows, but they don't start until March.
March, right.
But what about folks who would like to have you come out and haven't had you come out before?
You know, that's a good point. You know, we would like to go to different communities. The last year out in the suburban areas, we went to 35 different shows, and we brought lots of these products out. So if you or someone you know is in the community that has a space that would like to invite us to come,
mm-hmm.
please contact us. And probably the best person would be Sandra Valentino, and she could tell you initially what we need to have for space.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have a group that's interested in coming out, we call it our Low Vision Product Show, or we refer to it amongst ourselves as our road show. So just tell her we're interested in that. Sandra's direct number is 312-997-3677. So 997-3677. Talk to Sandra, and she will see if we can get you on the calendar for this year. So we start in March, and we go all the way through October.
All right.
Yeah.
And so last year you did 35 shows. So
we did, yeah.
Look, hopefully this year you can top that number and do more. All right, well, that's all great stuff. And folks, don't forget about those discounted products. You can always drop by the Tools for Living store, either at the Chicago Lighthouse at 1850 West Roosevelt Road or the location in Glenview, and they'll be happy to help you. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is Tom's Corner.
One in six of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Chevy Checker. A new twist in the law makes it easier than ever to save on your Medicare prescription drug plan costs. So what are you waiting for? Go to socialsecurity.gov and apply for extra help. It's easier than learning the twist.
Flying through this year, friend, flying through it.
31st is next week already.
Oh,
January will be gone.
Heavens.
It'll be out of here.
And then how many days, shopping days till Christmas?
I don't know.
Let me see if I can calculate that.
Today's the 24th of January.
So
tomorrow will be the 25th.
So 11 months, essentially.
So 11 months to Christmas.
Yeah.
Just enough time to pay off your bills.
And then go back into debt.
And to go back into debt. Thanks to Dr. Janet Slicker, executive director. You're mumbling.
Yeah.
Dr. Janet Slicker, executive director at the Lighthouse, for believing in us. Brian Hawkins is our master when it comes to all the technical stuff and the reining in Tom. And, you know, I've been forgetting to mention Sandra Murillo, who is our associate producer on the program now. So now I think we got everybody covered.
I think everybody's covered.
I think so, too.
Think
so that's
good.
I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around. Commercials, news, and those guys from the workshop will be joining us right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk. See you next week.